Hello, this is Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls. This is Amy Grisak and Marty Bannon, and we are sitting down today with Brian Thompson from the Highline Climbing Center, which is a place where you can enjoy the phenomenal sport of bouldering inside and learn more about what we can do outdoors. So thank you, Brian.
Welcome to the show, Brian, and I see you. Not only do we have Brian, who else do we have in the studio with us today?
We have my four-month-old daughter, Hazel. She's a budding climber and currently being very quiet. So
she's very hungry.
And we also are down actually at the climbing center.
That's right. Which is
different than what Amy and I have been doing in the future. In the past, we were either in the studio or we would do phone over the phone. And as all our listeners know, it's a challenging time. With the COVID, it looks like, as we talked in the pre-show, it looks like it's going to get better, which I hope that it will be getting better for the climbing center also. Brian, welcome to the show, and you're a test case.
Nice. Yeah, well, happy to help out, and pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Yep, we're trying out new equipment, socially distancing here, and seeing what sound gear works the best for us.
Well, tell us how you got here, Brian. We're in Great Falls.
Yeah, my wife and I aren't from Great Falls. We're transplants. We moved here about 7 years ago for work. My wife's an optometrist. I was a research scientist. We both had our graduate degrees, and we wanted to live in Montana because we had lived here previously, but not in Great Falls. So Great Falls is a new place for us, but we saw a lot of opportunity in Great Falls and came here for her work, and we were passionate about climbing. So when we came to the community, we said, well, this community is great for, you know, the breweries and the trails and the close outdoors, but if it had a climbing gym, it'd actually be a lot better. And so that kind of was the seed of an idea to actually open one ourselves. We're not a small business people by trade, so it was definitely a leap of faith. And we kind of just believed in the community and thought that it would really take to climbing, just like we saw other communities take to climbing when we were living in those places. And yeah, I mean, so it was a leap of faith, and we took that leap, and we're pretty happy we did. It's been really fun.
Well, we're definitely happy you did, too, because, of course, the boys and I come here and our goal is 3 times a week, and it works out great. Excellent workout, excellent mental workout.
Yeah.
And for anybody who hasn't tried it, it's just a great way to get your body moving no matter what time of the year.
So how long have you been here?
The climbing gym itself. The climbing gym is 4.5 years old, so we'll be entering our 5th year this spring. It's a bouldering gym, so they're lower height walls. They're not very intimidating to look at. We definitely changed the terrain by manipulating the holes. The walls are somewhat overhanging, and it can be kind of scary once you're up on the walls, but really it's just kind of thrilling to be moving under your own power under difficult situations. And we try to keep the environment safe and controlled. Enough that you don't feel like you're going to get injured, but still a little bit out there enough that you'll feel like you're adventuring while you're indoors.
Well, and that's the thing too, is with so many of the routes, and for people who aren't accustomed to climbing, there are different routes set up for various skill levels. And so even if you've never climbed up a wall before, there's some very easy routes that you can try and practice. And the cool thing is every route you do, you keep making progress.
Yeah, I think we have 95 routes in the gym right now, and they vary from what we call our beginner easy routes to our expert routes. There's still some routes in the gym that nobody that's come to the gym, even from out of state, has been able to climb yet. So there's definitely an open-ended upper ceiling, but we've got a lot of easy stuff for even kids down to age 3. We've had 1.5-year-olds climbing in the gym. And we've also had people up to age, I think it was 65 was our oldest climber for a while, and he was a member. So it really does apply to a lot of age groups, not just indoors, but also the outdoors, which I know we're going to talk about in a little while too.
Brian, where are you actually located in Great Falls?
We're at 608 First Avenue South, so we're pretty close to the downtown. We're just off Main Street, South Central Avenue.
And there's the building with the big metal arch.
Mural. That's right, yeah. We had a metal arch painted on our building by NeighborWorks Great Falls about 2 years ago. It's pretty phenomenal. Bird actually is our favorite part of the building.
And I saw this morning, I was on your website. Where are you at on the web? If people want to just learn a little bit more than what Amy and I are going to tell them today about.
Yeah, exactly. It's just our name at .com, so HighlineClimateCenter.com. You can find information there about youth activities, adult programs, or you can call us at 315-1613. We're always happy to answer questions or to stop in and say hi, take a tour of the facility and see what we can do for you.
Now, one question I had backing up, you know, before you even started this, how did you even get into climbing?
Yeah, so I grew up in Butte. My wife grew up in Deadwood. Both places are actually phenomenal climbing towns. They have a lot of natural rock around, but neither of us were climbers until college. I had some roommates from, I think it was Colorado, and we just kind of threw some shoes on and some ropes, and not really the safest way to learn, but we started climbing, and it started kind of a lifelong passion with just that first day out. It was very addictive in a way, you know, that the thrill of trying to accomplish something difficult. And since then, you know, it's been dabbling at it off and on and getting more and more involved in it over the last probably 20 years now, 25 years. So started fairly young and just never stopped.
And how'd you make that transition from, we talked a little bit in the pre-show, is how'd you make that transition or that epiphany that I want to be a small business owner and instead of just going out and climbing?
Yeah. So that was an opportunistic thing too, right? So Great Falls has a lot of things, but it does not have the career field I was in. So it was partially like I was trying to make being a research scientist work. I was working out of Conrad, Montana at the Agricultural Research Station there. With the long commutes and stuff, I was just growing tired of that. And it became more of a kind of a pie in the sky dream, right? It was like, I think it would be fun to do that. And it really has been great because I didn't realize when you open a business like this for rock climbers, you meet people that are really interested. They travel the world. They're not just rock climbers, mind you, they're hikers and bikers and all sorts of people. And so you just meet lots of people, and that's kind of where most of our friendships came from in Great Falls, is actually through the business. We took a chance on it. We were really happy we did.
And when you first started, you had the indoor, and then was the outdoor section that you have first on there as well?
No, so it's an old warehouse, right? So we remodeled this old warehouse. I think it's like 100-something years old. We did most of the remodel ourselves, and we kept building climbing walls inside of the indoor warehouse. As the customer base grew, as our capital grew, as our funding grew, we just kept adding on. And it's kind of been our objective is to keep growing the gym until we reach our ultimate goal, which is to have a top rope facility. So 40-foot walls plus the bouldering area we have now, fitness rooms, yoga. We want to have a full service fitness facility. To reach that goal, we knew we had to keep growing in our space as well. So we've done about three or four additions on our building now, and the next addition will be to move into a much larger space, and that's what we're working towards now.
Because you started the progress for that really shifted last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We've always been very growth-minded with the business itself, so we look at customers, growing customers, in order to accomplish something that will give the customers more climbing. That's always been our goal, is make Great Falls a climbing community and just keep adding value to the business so that they appreciate that. So last year, we kind of turned a corner around January, and we bought a piece of land, and we were preparing to develop that over the next couple of years. And then, of course, COVID hit and kind of changed plans a little bit, but didn't totally derail us, just kind of pump the brakes a little bit, and we'll be back on track hopefully by end of next year or end of this year hopefully.
So Brian, what are we doing right now? Are we in spring hours? I know that you have different hours throughout the year. You have winter and summer. Have you gone to spring hours, or have you adjusted based on COVID?
We adjusted based on COVID and visitation. So we switched to our summer hours after we were closed in March. When the pandemic first hit. And so when we reopened, we noticed that our visitation was way down. So we just reduced our hours to kind of cut back on expenses. And we've just had to keep those the entire time. So once COVID is gone, or at least under control, we'll probably be able to go back to expanded hours. But right now we're open basically noon till 9 p.m. every day of the week.
Now, for somebody who has never climbed, what is it like coming in here for the first time? What should they expect with, you know, what kind of clothes should they wear? What kind of shoes do they need? Kind of a primer.
Yeah, so we have all the rental equipment. Our staff is instructed to always help anybody who asks for it. So we do have classes you can register for, but I kind of recommend people just come in, buy a pass, and we'll do some one-on-one instruction and get them started, because rock climbing is a very intuitive sport. It's all about feeling balance and strength as you move up the wall. So anybody can do it with very minimal instruction. To get good at it, you might need more specific instruction, but your first time in, it's not going to be easy, but it is easy to approach. All right, so I would recommend just come in and get started. The biggest or the hardest part is actually taking that first step through the door.
I like the way you explain that, because I think a lot of people, and I'm a non-climber, they think it's a very high technical sport, and it is. But to get started, you can come in and start climbing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's a steep learning curve. So your first day in, you'll feel like a total novice, which you are, so you should feel good about that. But to be an expert, you really have to train at it. But between the beginner and the expert level, there's a whole lot of fun to be had. You know, as the routes change, there's always something brand new for each person at each level.
And one thing that I found that's really cool is you can be in here and you're working, and you know, somebody who has more experience can see when you're stuck. Yeah. And he or she will come over and say, hey, you know, why don't you do this? It just happened to us last week where my eldest was on a route, and a guy who was here, he's like, hey, just reach around. And he was able to finish that route because he was able to coach him through. And it's, you know, total strangers. And it's just, it's not an, I told you, know, of like a one-upmanship. It's a community, which is really cool.
Yeah, climbing in particular, it's like a miniature adventure, right? So every time you get on the wall, you're trying to problem solve as well as work out your own strength in that situation. But it's not always a strength that gets you up. Sometimes it's a little bit of information from somebody else that says, hey, you know, use that hold in a slightly different way, and you don't have to be muscling it quite so much. So there's a lot of ways to climb, and the community actually makes it one of the most attractive sports for any climbers, because it's so open, it's so sharing, and people aren't trying to, you know, like put each other down. They're not trying to compete necessarily, they're trying to lift everybody up while they're climbing.
And it's amazing when you learn one little technique sometimes that just, you know, like, you know, put your toe in, heel up to, you know, use your legs, and it's like night and day, these little things.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah.
We're talking with Brian Thompson today at the Highline Climbing Center in Great Falls. And Brian, since the show is Front Range Outdoors, where can people take this, what they learn here, outdoors when the weather gets bad?
There's quite a few places around Great Falls. Great Falls hasn't historically been a climbing community. There are a lot more climbers now since the indoor climbing's opened, and a lot of those people are going outdoors. But I mention this because there are established climbing areas around, but there are also a lot of places that haven't been established yet. So there's a lot of opportunity to grow climbing outdoors as well. But probably the best place to go around Great Falls is a place called Blackleaf Canyon. They have routes up to 600 feet tall. So very, very tall routes. But you can also just climb the first pitch of those, which is only about 100 feet. They have route ratings ranging from stuff that I know a four-year-old has done, you know, up to stuff that, you know, some of the expert climbers around the state will come up and have fun on as well. So Blackleaf has, gosh, just estimating probably somewhere around maybe 60 to 100 routes out there. So some around a lifetime of routes. If you're going up there every weekend, you'd have something to climb. We also go out to the Little Belts quite a bit. So there's stuff closer to Memorial Falls, there's some good climbing. And then there's some stuff over by Judith Basin as well. And the Judith Basin stuff is more of the exploration, new opportunities to climb.
What is a route for those that you use that term? Route, is that an established route that somebody, a seasoned climber, has done before, and then that becomes the standard route?
Yeah, most of the climbing we're doing around here is sport climbing, meaning somebody has gone up and they've placed protection into the rock. So they'll put steel pins in that the climbers can clip into to stay safe. A route is established the first time somebody climbs it, though. So any person can put a route up. It just requires, you know, identifying a start point and a finish point. Some routes, like traditional climbing, which is that because it's the first type, you know, you think of like people pounding pitons and later on putting PAMs, which are moving devices that wedge themselves into the rock. That kind of climbing, you would have no protection placed, so you'd place it as you go. But with sport climbing, people have drilled bolts in the wall and put these steel hangers on, and you just clip those as you go. So you clip into that and clip your rope into it and just continue on after you're done cleaning that stuff up.
And for clarification, Blackleaf is other side of Shodo?
Yes, it is. Head to Shodo towards Glacier Park. Continue on about another half an hour to Bynum, a little small town of Bynum. And then head on up Blackleaf Road straight to it. Takes about an hour and a half to get there. The stuff in the Little Belts is only about an hour.
And they can certainly get some information if they're interested in progressing to that from here, from you and your staff.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, and we actually have a link on our website too, to an online webpage that has all of Montana routes established on it. And it's a community developed site, so every month, every year, there's brand new routes being added to it. There's actually a brand new book coming out too. So it's a climbing guide, and Blackleaf Canyon will feature in that guide pretty prominently.
Now, what makes climbing good? You know, what kind of rock do you need? Because I know a lot of what we have around here isn't something you want to climb on.
Yeah, what you need for rock climbing is fairly steep rock, so it's got to be nearly vertical for its entire length. And more importantly, it needs to be clean, which or not chossy. So chossy in climbing terminology is rocks flaking off or rocks perched on ledges that might possibly fall off.
And didn't you say down in Neihardt, is it Neihardt granite? That's very specific to like two places on Earth?
It's Neihardt quartz, actually. Quartz. So it's like a giant crystal. I think it was first named in Neihardt, Montana, and then they found the same rock type somewhere over in Southeast Asia, China area. But you can climb virtually any type of rock, sandstone, limestone, quartz, granite, all the types are available. Just how they form under what kind of pressure makes them harder, which also makes them cleaner. You know, the cleaner the rock, the safer it is.
Ryan, I must ask you, segue back to Butte. I've hiked all the way around Butte, and I was thinking, is it up in the high country, south of town, down toward southeast of Butte, or is it more up on the Continental Divide?
It's all over, really. So in Butte, you have the Boulder Batholith, which is granite formations. There's a lot of bouldering on the east side of the Continental Divide there. If you head towards the Big Hole Basin, Moose Creek area, there's the Humbug Spires, which are more granite. But there's also limestone fins down in the river basin as well. So, and there's climbing on all those rock features. It's surrounded by mostly.
I was looking at those Humbug Spires this year. It's like, we want to go down there this summer.
Yeah, there's a Butte climbing guide as well. I believe it's out of print, but you can find it in some guide shops. We sell some climbing guide books, but we haven't been able to get that book because it's out of print. But yeah, Humbug Spires, there's some really good stuff there. Mm-hmm. So where we find most of our information on new areas, if you can't find the guidebooks, you go to Mountain Project and you look up the state of Montana, and you can click on different areas of the state. It'll tell you what climbs are there, what grades they are, tell you first ascensionists, how many feet off the ground you'll be, how you access the climbs. So Mountain Project is a digital guidebook.
Brian, I know we talked about it in the pre-show a little bit. The sport is really growing, right?
Yeah, it's grown tremendously. Rock climbing indoors has gained a lot of popularity, which has led to a lot of popularity or a lot of growth in the outdoor industry as well.
And getting back to how people start here, I noticed on your website you have team competitions.
That's a newer thing to rock climbing. We have a youth climbing program, and so that's aimed at getting kids introduced to the sport, introducing them to ways to compete in the sport of rock climbing, because rock climbing is fun, but it's also a sport where you can potentially go places with it. There are college teams are being formed for rock climbing. There's also, this year was supposed to be the first year rock climbing would be in the Olympics. Of course, that was postponed until I believe this summer coming up. But you should be able to see rock climbing in the next couple Olympics. And America stands to feature fairly well in rock climbing. We're a little bit slow to the game. The rest of the world has been in climbing a lot longer, but we've got some really talented athletes nationally and even locally that are growing up.
And how about a brief explanation of what competitive climbing is? Is it speed, or is it technique, or is it, what are we talking about?
They divided it up, for the Olympics, they divided it into three categories. There's a speed climbing, which is going as fast as you can for around 45 feet. There's bouldering, which is exactly what our gym offers, which is highly technical climbing, a lot of power, a lot of technique. And then there's sport climbing, which is tall walls and technique and difficulty. So a little less technical than the bouldering is, but a lot longer. So it'd be like doing four bouldering problems in a row.
So do you have judges for two of the three of those, and then the other one's based on speed?
There are judges for all of it, just to make sure people are following the rules. But the course is set by route setters. So at our gym, we have, I think, seven people that we allow to set routes. At these global competitions and national competitions, they'll have a pool of certified route setters who will set the routes, and the rules are the same everywhere for rock climbing. Use only the holds that are allowed on the wall to start, and then complete it all the way to the finish, and you get a certain number of points for going all the way to the top of the route. In competitions, you get a certain number of points just for going halfway through, just as a tiebreaker. So that would be bouldering. Speed climbing, the judges are just to make sure they don't cheat, but it's basically once you take off from the ground, it's how fast can you get to the top. And those climbers will do, and the speed climber will do the full 45 feet or so in around 5 to 6 seconds. So it's really fast. That's the most exciting one to watch. If you're not a hardcore climber, that's the one that will really thrill you. But bouldering and the lead climber will probably thrill the hardcore climbers more, because they can appreciate the technical ability to do those.
And since you're talking about the competitions and that, why don't you tell us a little bit about the new app, or the app that's available that we've been bringing here.
Yeah, so as climbing grows in popularity, we get more toys and trinkets to play with. We have a new app that we're actually using at the climbing gym here that allows climbers to engage virtually with each other, as well as compete in challenges virtually. So our most recent challenge was an endurance challenge. So how many climbs can you do in a single session without repeating any climbs? So if you climb all the climbs in the gym, you would have had 95 points. And so people over the course of a week were allowed to sign up for that competition and kind of compete against each other and see how each other were doing. You can also post videos and message people through the app. So it's a super fun way to communicate and actually meet that community that you talked about earlier, Amy. It's nice to meet people through the app.
It is. And if you go to a different place, then you can see what they have, and even ahead of time, mm-hmm. kind of get little sneak previews on new routes that are set.
Oh, yeah. Which is kind of cool. We just set routes yesterday, actually. So you have to come in and try those today.
Yeah, we'll do them today.
But the app messages you right away. Once a new route's put up, it tells everybody, hey, new route's up.
Yeah, so boys are all excited.
Yeah. We set routes about once a week. We try to set once a week. So that's our schedule. Keep the gym new and fresh for everybody. It's always changing, and the climbers are really into new routes.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always fun to come in seeing something new. And it's always nice because it's not like it's all changed at once, because sometimes when you're working on a problem, and you still have time to work on it. That's good.
Yeah, and a problem, in climbing terminology, a problem is what boulders define as a route. So it's a pathway up the wall that has a start and a finish. And sometimes people will do things, what they call projecting a problem. So they'll work on a problem, trying to solve all the different sequences, almost like a puzzle. And it might take, you know, several weeks. It might take one attempt. It might take 15 attempts. The real fun comes in finding a project or a problem that you can't complete right away. So something that's difficult, that challenges you physically and mentally.
Would I be correct to say when you set routes in here, every one of the routes you already have thought through, or is it, are there routes in here that, that people will figure out off of what you've already set?
It kind of goes both ways. So if you were to, so the place we're sitting right now is in the bouldering gym itself. If you look around, there's lots of different colors on the wall. There's a bunch of different shapes on the wall as well. And those shapes, being the climbing holds, kind of define how the routes used, right? So different grips, different angles to them. So route setters will set in different ways. Sometimes they'll borrow an idea from an outdoor route that they've climbed. Sometimes they've been to another place and climbed something. Sometimes they've seen a video and they want to replicate that. And sometimes they'll just look through the box of holds. We've got, I think it's something like 3,000 or 4,000 holds in our inventory, just as things we can use, almost like tools in a toolbox. And they'll go through that toolbox and they'll find the right holds to build a route, and that'll kind of spur the creative side of their mind to do things. The more experienced route setters have ideas of how a person will move, and they'll base their route off those movements. So, you know, I want them to move this way with this hand, and I'll force it by putting these holds here and here. So good route setters are all about forcing people to do the things that they want them to do, so that those people will have fun. So you might be learning that route for the first time when you climb it, but the route setter has already thought out all of your movements as you go up the wall.
And we only have a couple minutes left, Brian. Again, you're at 601.
608.
Yep. Your hours again?
We're open noon till 9 p.m. 7 days a week.
Your website?
HighlineClimbingCenter.com.
There's a lot of information on there.
Yep.
We haven't talked about membership. To be a member, what does it cost?
It's around $44 a month for an adult. Okay. And that'll actually include their rental shoes or rental equipment if they need that.
And what you encourage people to do is come down and walk in the front door.
Yeah.
And see what it's all about, right?
Yeah, definitely.
They're welcome to do that without scheduling or anything. Just to come down, walk in, and you'll show them around, or your staff will help them out.
Yeah, no reservations needed whatsoever. We also have a calculator on our website. It'll tell you how many people are in the gym at a given time. So if you're worried about crowdedness in the gym, you can always look there first and see if the gym's empty or not.
Excellent. Well, this is, like I said, a great place to be, whether you love to go outside and hit it when it's not cold and when you can feel your fingers. And anytime during the year, this is a fun place to be. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. It's really fun.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for bringing your daughter or son.
Daughter.
That's daughter, right. Yep. I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was talking like my granddaughter. Anyway, thank you very much for letting us try out the new format.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to coming down here and talking to you again as you've got some future plans.
Yeah, that sounds terrific. Thanks, guys.
This is Front Range Outdoors on KGPR with Marty Bannon and Amy Grisak. And we just spoke with Brian Thompson at the Highline Climbing Center.